You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Amen. Have a seat. Welcome, Makers Church. My name is Mark, one of the pastors here. It's been like 5 months since I've given a sermon. It's weird. It feels, in some ways, like I was just here, and in other ways, it's been like a decade since I've been on the stage. Have you ever had, in the morning, you haven't spoken to anyone yet, maybe you're going to the store or you're getting coffee somewhere or you have a meeting at work and the first words out of your mouth are like, because you like haven't spoken and it's like this growth, like you're going through puberty. Every Monday morning, we have an all-team meeting at work, and I swear I go through puberty every morning on Monday. Like it comes out weird. I'm like, oh, I haven't spoken yet, and they call on me. That's what I feel like right now. It's like I haven't spoken in a little bit, so just give me a second to warm up. But I am excited, believe it or not, to be here. Oh, someone's clapping. Wow, thanks, Debbie. I didn't know I needed that. Thank you for that applause and my terrible opening. My name's Mark. It's good to be with you. Thanks for making it through the rain, like we said. It's cliche, but it is nice that this is our harsh weather compared to like the Midwest and Iowa. And polar vortexes, like negative 20 degrees. You see the TikTok videos where they take the hot soup and they throw it in the air and it's an ice cube and it falls. I don't understand that. Like once it gets below zero, does it even matter? Like, it's so cold. One time when I was a kid and camping in Truckee near Tahoe, it was like negative 5, but then wind chill is like negative 70, which never makes sense to me. It's like, oh, it's a beautiful 70-degree day. Wind chill, it's negative 30. But, I felt it in my bones. Like, it hurt everywhere. I'm like, mumsies, I'm going to die. Like, let my next of kin know that I am passing in this cold. But we don't have that here. This is as worse as it gets, so thanks for being here. I am getting back from the sabbatical. We're in this series on Sabbath. So sabbatical is this really beautiful expression that each of us pastors did where we took 3 months off. I was the last to go. It was really, really nice. It was very needed. My wife and I, I'll just preface it. There was no singular mountaintop epiphany life-changing event. But there were hundreds of beautiful, significant moments throughout. Just little mundane words from God or words from a friend or a time of connection or joy or fun or just reading good books, cooking good meals, visiting friends all across the country. It was really nice. I celebrated my 38th birthday during my sabbatical. Yay, getting older. Everything hurts now. Celebrated our 11-year wedding anniversary, which was incredible. I got to go to Spain at the beginning. I walked the Camino, which is an ancient pilgrimage where it's supposed to be hard and slow. Like you could very easily drive it in like a couple hours. But when you walk it, it took us 8 days, 17, 18 miles a day, just grueling, but beautiful scenery. I mean, you're going through picturesque wine country and then pine forests that are so green and verdant and you smell it in the air and there's birds chirping and little Spanish squirrels rolling around. And it was just, I don't know why it's different than American squirrels, but like, hola, and then they run away. But it was really, really nice. And you're by the ocean and you smell the salt of the sea and it was healing. This was, our sabbatical was also it was supposed to be paternity leave for me as well. That was the plan. That was going to be a beautiful, okay, I get time off and then bond with the baby and then life changes and that doesn't happen. And so Spain was actually a really incredibly necessary time for me to heal and to have these cathartic moments of yelling at God as I'm walking and also praising God as I'm walking and wrestling with loss and sorrow, not just in my own life, that was obviously the most pertinent, my wife and I, but then just in the world. It was in that week that Hamas had its terrorist attack in Israel, and then Israel began its onslaught of over-the-top, you know, payback, and it's just, you see violence and loss and sorrow and hurt everywhere, and it was interesting to process that all as I'm walking slowly on this path towards this cathedral that's supposed to be this holy moment. It's funny, this isn't that relevant, I'm going to share it anyways. A lot of people walk with walking sticks, they're like these fancy ski poles, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that, it looks stupid, it's extra weight. That was one of the few things I learned on the way. The way up is often down, the way out is often through, and leave what's heavy behind. So anything that was extra, I just left it on the way. But I'm like, I'm not going to carry these walking sticks, but then the first day I picked up a wizard staff, I looked like Gandalf, I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice. And then the second day I pick up the second one. I'm like, oh, that's great. So I look like a total idiot. These all these like fancy Europeans with the top-notch gear. I have these two wooden sticks just like trudging through. And it was actually a very spiritual moment when I got to the cathedral. I laid them down as like an altar and I took a photo. And I turned around, I turned back and they were gone. Like there are security guards who like remove anything that you leave there. But it was a really special moment. I was going to share something else about the Camino and I forgot, but it doesn't matter. It was beautiful. I needed it. It was part of sabbatical. We're talking about Sabbath. We did stop the first week 2 weeks ago. Shalise spoke beautifully about rest. This week is about delight. Maybe my intro didn't tee you off about delight, but that's real. Like, how do we delight in a world that is often full of pain and disappointment and loss? The reality, like, our world is a mixed bag of such exquisite, gorgeous beauty and wonder and loss and trauma and pain. And I mean, I don't need to, you've all experienced it in your own ways. So how do we engage in the radically subversive, powerful, worshipful thing of choosing to delight and rejoice? And how is that Sabbath? We're going to unpack that a little bit here. As we get into it, I'm going to frame this talk up with this concept of rhythm. It's become a bit of a buzzword, but I've loved this word for years. One of the first sermons I ever preached, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, was on rhythm. We were doing a thing. We were Mosaic Church at the time, and we had what was called, Artisan something? Like Artisan Lounge, there it is. You participated. So people would come, and anyone in our church, if you had a cool talent that you wanted to teach or show or do like a fun PowerPoint presentation or workshop, you could do it to the community. It was really great. There were a couple empty spots. So last minute, I got roped in to teach something. I'm like, what do I teach on? I don't know. I'm like, I'm a drummer. I'll just talk about drums and rhythm. And what I unpacked is in rhythm, in music, what fascinates me is you obviously think of sound, right? Music is sound. But to have rhythm, what is equally as essential as the noise is the silence. You have notes that show you what frequency you're pitched to play and for how long, and then you have these other squiggly symbols called rest notes. And it is only when you have that interplay between sound and silence that you have something called rhythm that you can experience, and it brings you joy and it makes you want to move. And so in our own lives, there is a seasonality, a rhythm baked into everything. We see it. It's hard to see in San Diego, but there it's in nature. It's in the world around us. This concept of seasonality has helped me get through a lot of difficult things because knowing, hey, this too shall pass, or this might have something to teach me, but this is not my reality forever. There is something new, something different, something fresh coming, fresh mercies every morning as scriptures teach us. Even our breath, our breathing is a rhythmic. It's a compound verb. You can't just inhale or you'll die. You can't just exhale or you die. It requires both. Our heart beating is a rhythmic activity. There is rest and movement. And I love this idea of rhythm, and it plays so beautifully into Sabbath. And it's also, I balance it with the concept of balance, because balance is a great word. Balance is cool. I like rhythm better because for me, balance is about like getting everything lined up perfectly. And it's like those weirdos who like stack rocks. Sorry if that's you, but like they stack these rocks at the beach. And it's like, don't touch it. Don't get near it. You know, you're balancing these plates, but like, it's fragile. It's tentative. Be careful. But when I think of rhythm, I think of, not that I do it well, but dancing or fighters, boxers. There's a movement. When I preach, I move around on stage and it actually creates a lot more stability. Even when you're riding a dirt bike or a motorcycle, the faster you go, the way physics works, is the more stable you become. And so rhythm is not just stasis, stagnant, staying still. Rhythm is this balance between work and rest. And that's what we're going to unpack with Sabbath. Because I'm convinced sometimes we rest but aren't refreshed is because we actually aren't doing any sort of purposeful work in our life. This is not going to be a sermon on work. But we were designed to be productive, to create, to engage in work. Work is worship. Work is beautiful. Baked into that, we need purpose in our lives. Sometimes work can be your purpose. It doesn't have to be. You can find your purpose in your family, in the way you parent, in the way you love your friends or your partner or your spouse. It could be a ministry. It could be a hobby. It could be a nonprofit. There are many ways to have deep, meaningful purpose, but we are wired to require it. And when we don't engage in purpose, when we get to the resting part, it feels weird. We don't have the deepest, fullest rest. We're not engaging in this healthy, beautiful work that we're created for. That's all I'm going to say on that. That's part of this rhythmic balance, the sound, the silence, the movement. And so that's good. It's going to frame up what we're talking about here. I don't want to support that with this beautiful scripture, the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, where he says this. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me." Did a lot of that in Spain. "Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I love that. And then tying in, as we said, Sabbath delight, this verse here in Psalm 37, where David declared, just delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We could spend weeks extrapolating, meeting, unpacking this. We're not going to get into what does it mean to have the desires of our heart changed and grown and evolved. What I want you to hear here first is God wants you to delight. That is important. And he also wants to give us the desires of our heart. He cares about our longings. He cares about our passions and our dreams and our pleasure and our delight and our joy. It says this in Psalm 104, "The Lord takes pleasure in all he has made." God cares about our pleasure because God cares about his own pleasure, and God takes pleasure in a lot of things that he has made. So we were built to delight. And what does delight mean? I think we can make it overly complex, and we get into these things about happiness versus joy, and then we can get into all the, like, joy is this deep thing, which is really important. But let's just simplify it. Delight is just having fun. It's enjoying something. It's having pleasure. It's experiencing something that you like. We don't need to overcomplicate it. That is important to us. We are created for, we were designed to experience delight. And I think that's so radically important for us to recognize. Yeah. I like to attach it. I'm going to nerd out for a second here if you'll indulge me. I love this philosophy of transcendentalism. There are a lot of Christians who believe in this transcendentalism thought. There's three pillars to it. And it's this idea that at the essence, the best thing is that which is most beautiful. That which is most beautiful is also that is which is most true, which is also that which is most good. So delight is really just engaging with that which is most beautiful and good and true. And it reminds me of my favorite quotes from the writer Dostoevsky, who says, "Beauty will save the world." When we engage in, when we pursue, when we notice, when we savor, when we create beauty, that is not insignificant. That is good and true, and that is an expression of delight, and that changes our very world. Reverend Tim Keller said this. He said, "Because the world is full of ugly things, we need the Sabbath to feed our soul with beauty," or in another word, to delight. Again, I don't need to tell you that there is a lot of heavy, hurtful things in the world and in our own lives. But to choose delight, to choose beauty is that radical movement, and it's so essential for us. So I'm gonna sit in this for a little bit. We're going to unpack what this means, to Sabbath well, to delight well. And the thing I want to get into, some 3 points here about Sabbath that is going to tie into what we've talked about so far, is that in scriptures, the talks about, hey, God rested, God worked, God rested, you should rest from your work. It's really important to unpack the reality that there's actually two Hebrew words for work in scripture. There's ovada and there's malaka. Probably mispronouncing those, but ovada and malaka. And they are both used to mean work. Ovada, the first one, is more related to tasks, simple things. It's moving a chair from here to there. It's cleaning something small. It's often used for worship as well. It's acts of service, all fit in this ovada camp. And then you have the verb malaka, which is translated work most often, but really at its core, it means creative work. It's work that requires your imagination, requires your mind. It's where you're building, you're producing, you're making something that wasn't there before. It can be as simple as cooking a meal. It can be as big as designing and building a cathedral or stadium. It's writing a song. It's baking bread. It's making a fire. It's building a chair. All these things are considered malacha, creative work. I bring this up. This is important because in scriptures, it's actually that work, which is what God did. That is the verb used when God created the universe. And that is the work that we are called to rest from. And that is often the most difficult work for us to rest from. And we'll unpack that here for a little bit. But I love, as we get into that too, we'll get there in a second, but I love this idea that, okay, we're talking about task work versus creative work. Sabbath plays into this because it is a resting from that creative endeavor. And that includes the thinking about it. As we talked about this series, when you do studies on how our body responds, our brains, our physiology, our hormones, the different chemicals released, when you think about a stressful work project, it is exactly as if you're working on it. Yeah. And so sometimes it's easy for us to cease and desist from actually doing stuff, but it's more difficult to stop our brains' wheels from spinning, thinking about all the ways we can maximize and improve, and we're plotting and project planning, and that type of creative energy in our brain can be exhausting. We rest, but we're not refreshed. We'll unpack that more in a bit. But as we get into it, as we're talking about Ovadah versus Malacha, I love, too, that Sabbath, when it's done well, it is the completion of a creative act. Let me say it this way. In the Hebrew mind, you could do all the work to make a meal, but the meal wasn't complete until you sat down and ate it. Does that make sense? Like that word malacha, that creative act, was not considered complete until you enjoyed the fruit of your labor, until you savored it. And so Sabbath, this day where God worked and then we rest, that is because we can then savor it, so that time that we experience the goodness of what we worked on. Oftentimes we don't give ourselves permission to do that. We finish something and then we immediately move on to the next. It's so easy for us to keep thinking in the future but not be present. Where Sabbath is, it's invitation to stop, to rest, to desist, and to be in the moment. To appreciate that which is for what it is. To not think about how you can, just enjoy the meal for what it was. I love to cook. I watch a lot of cooking shows. A lot of Top Chef, a lot of Master Chef. I think I'm better than I am. I enjoy it. It's really fun. And usually when I cook a meal, I immediately, when we're eating it, I ignore my wife, because I go right into like what I would do better next time. And it's like, okay, that's great. That's important. But maybe that's for tomorrow. Maybe just enjoy the meal for what it is now. We often confuse goodness with perfection, I think, is part of this problem too. I love when God is creating in this poetry that is Genesis. Each day he makes, the lights in the heavens, and he makes the animals, and he makes the oceans. And each time God stops, not just on the Sabbath, but each day he stops, and it says that God saw that it was good. He stopped and he noticed, he appreciated, he observed what he had done, and he declared it good. Never called it perfect. Perfect, in a sense, is a fallacy, because what is an imperfection anyways? I've said this before, I love Beatles music. I was raised on the Beatles records. My dad, before he passed, had the collection of every single album, and has my earliest sonic memories were the Beatles. Those records are full of mistakes. Like, Ringo gets off tempo all the time, the vocals clash, you even hear them like talking and laughing in the background, they forgot to take that out of the track. All of it becomes part of this beautiful meal that is this music. And it's so good. If you took it away, it would no longer be what it was. Those imperfections add to the goodness and the beauty of it. And when God created the universe, and then when he creates us and he calls us good, good, he declares us very good, never perfect. So we oftentimes let perfect be the enemy of good, and we let that stop us from enjoying whatever the thing is. Your job, your partner, your kids, the ministry you're part of, the day you had. Sometimes we're comparing it to these unattainable ideals or lofty visions that are not even what we should be aiming for. And that robs us from experiencing that Sabbath delight of just savoring it for what it is. On Monday, you can strategize how to make it better. On your Sabbath from strategizing, and just take it for what it is. It's so good. Like, again, I love cooking. I almost chopped my foot off the other day. I don't remember what we were making, but I'm a chaotic chef because I'm not very good. And Lauren bought me my Yes Chef shirt for Christmas, so I'm wearing that stupid hat, running around, dicing, slicing. I got four pots. I only need one pot, but I got four pots boiling something. I don't know why. And I would finish cutting something up, and I don't know what I was doing, and our chefs and I flew into the air. And I see it coming down. My hands are full with stuff. And I'm in my soft Christmas, like, super thick socks with my little sticky bottoms because I'm a big boy and I like my nice socks. And this knife's flying, and I'm like, and I dodge it, and it, like, goes between my feet, and it sticks on our wood floor. I was like, ooh, that was a close call. And it reminded me, actually, a week prior at Trader Joe's, I also had my hands full, and a woman next to me was reaching for a glass of, like, sriracha, some kind of hot sauce, and she dropped it, and it was falling down. And my superpower is catching things that are in my periphery. It's the only power I'm proud of. And it was falling down, and I reached my foot out, and I stopped it, and it rolled off and didn't break. And I'm like, heroes are real. I am one of them. I know firefighters and teachers get discounts everywhere, but I'm like, hey, I caught a sriracha bottle with my foot. Can I, 20% off? But I love cooking. I love running around. I'm always like, you know, I worked in restaurants all through college, bartending, so I use all the terms like corner, behind, 86 this. Lauren gets mad at me. I'm like, you need an 86 for complaining because chef's working here. But then when we finish, again, the completion of the creative act, the completion of Malacca, the completion of our work only happens when we stop and we notice it, we observe it, we celebrate it, and we savor it for what it is, how it is. How many times do you allow yourself to love yourself exactly as you are? And I'm not saying you need to do that all the time. This is the rhythm concept we're talking about. There is a time and a space, as Ecclesiastes says, for you to think about ways that you can improve and grow and mature and cultivate and all these things. I love that idea of always growing and maturing. But there needs to be moments, spaces, sacred times where you just allow yourself to love yourself exactly as you are and to love those around you exactly as they are, to declare each other what God has already said, that we are good. That I am good, that this world as full of ugliness and pain and ego and all these things, it is still ultimately good because God said it and he never revoked that declaration. Sabbath is that chance, that radical pushing against society and culture and our own wiring sometimes to say, I will love this and myself as it is and let that be restorative and restful. Because here's the thing. True rest, true delighting in Sabbath is meant to be refreshing. Let's look at that scripture here in Exodus where it says this. It says, you are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. God's saying, hey, the thing that's the strong covenant here is this ability to Sabbath. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Again, the verb there, Malacca. He creative energy, the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. That's strange. God of the universe, the infinite foundation of being, the triune God, never tires, scripture says. Never tires, never lost. And a God, the triune being, this ultimate expression of love, needed to be refreshed. God needed to be refreshed. Who are we to think that we don't need it as well? And what that word, that Hebrew word there is nafash. It means to breathe in. I love that God spends 6 days breathing out creative energy, producing all these exquisite, beautiful things, calling them good, not perfect. He calls us very good. Breathing out, he literally forms humanity out of dust and breathes his own breath of life, his spirit, who's Ruah, into us, and then takes a moment to breathe back in, to be restored, to be refreshed. Again, our work is not complete until we stop and take a breath in like God did as well. And God commands that. He says here, you are built in my image to need to savor that which you have worked for and to be refreshed. And if you neglect this, it's no wonder that you might feel burnt out or you might feel like your patience is low or maybe your passion is low or maybe you're very irritable or any little disturbance to your schedule just ticks you off. you're not refreshed. You're not fulfilled. You're running on steam. We need to engage with resting and delight. Delighting is such an important part of it. It's not just distraction. Like, distraction is good, right? There can be time and space to jump on whatever, a show, a book, whatever. Those things can sometimes be distractions, social media, shopping. So that's fine. Distraction in of itself isn't the deepest form of rest. So it's good to have a time and place for that, and then we need to have spaces where, again, we just enjoy things for what they are and let that be enough. And in that context, too, I think play is so important. Play is powerful. Joy is so essential. That's another thing. If the completion of a creative act is enjoying and savoring it, and it's also refreshing, the last point in this little section here is that Sabbath delight is healing for us. Play is powerful. Laughter is often the best medicine. Like, literally, studies back this up. There are so many medically backed initiatives where they show the power of happiness, joy, different versions of delight do things to our physiological system. They affect our blood pressure, our heart, our neurological systems. Like, they broke it down here into just physical, mental, and social benefits. Physical benefits. They have measured that it boosts your immunity, laughing, having fun, enjoying. It lowers stress hormones. It actually decreases pain. Like, if you're feeling pain, just go see a funny movie and you might feel a little less. It relaxes your muscles. It helps prevent heart disease. This has been measured with peer-reviewed studies. Mental health, we know this. It adds joy in life, but it can also reduce anxiety and tension. It relieves stress and improves mood. And it strengthens not just our mental, but also our physical resilience against illness. Joy, delight, having fun, creating, prioritizing play. It has these benefits for us. Social benefits. It strengthens our relationships. Lauren and I, when we've been asked to help counsel younger married couples or do premarital, one thing we talk about is, like, when's the last time you went and had fun together? Like, sometimes it's good and necessary to talk about a lot of heavy, real stuff in our relationships and unpack trauma and, like, get into that stuff. That's essential. Sometimes you need to put that to the side and, like, go do something silly. Like, go do a pottery class and make fools of yourself, or go to the beach and surf or watch a movie, whatever it is for you. Do a cooking class, almost stab yourself in the foot making a meal. Whatever it is, like, that play a game where you get to know each other better. Laughing together, sharing humor. That is so bonding and bridge building and restorative. It needs to be prioritized. Happens in our friendships and our workplaces too. We've done that at Makers, where someone's like, we've had a lot of business meetings. Let's just, like, have dinner at somebody's house and, like, not put any agenda other than playing games and having fun. Because that is not just extra, that's the thing. Helps diffuse conflict, it promotes group bonding. There's so many benefits to joy, to laughter, to fun. And so true Sabbath is allowing ourselves, in fact, choosing delight, even in the midst of pain. And it's not ignoring those things, right? In the world around us, there's so much that requires our attention. There's so much we could be doing to help, and we should. That goes back to that purpose and that work. Monday, you get to it. There's a lot of work to do in this world. But do you create space to allow yourself to stop? And as I've said 10 times already, savor what is for what it is and love it as it is exactly, and yourself included. A few last little notes on Sabbath and delight. I love that this space that we create, it gives us the capacity and the bandwidth to reflect, to look back, to celebrate what was. Not try to fix it, not try to, like, replay it in your mind. It's not about sitting in your regret. It's about seeing what's happened to get you here and celebrating all of it. Parse it out some other time, but just celebrate you and your story. Again, the present, diving in to being present in the moment, and then future allows you to hope and to dream, because I love this. There's this Hebrew concept for Sabbath. There's this phrase, Mien Olam Abba. And what that means is that true Sabbath is meant to be a taste of the world to come. Sabbath is supposed to be this little slice of the new heaven and the new earth. It is God's kingdom incarnate here, when we can engage in this delightful, beautiful experience together with people and ourselves. That is a little sliver of the thing to come, the Mian Olam Abba. Scriptures teach us that Jesus was the ultimate expression of Sabbath in the truest form. So we talked about this. Why don't we rest? Why don't we delight? If it's so great, if it's so awesome, if it's so cool, why is it hard to do? None of this is rocket science. Again, a lot of it is distraction's good, but sometimes we can lean a little too heavy in a distraction, and we never allow ourselves that space to experience gratitude or thankfulness and presence because we feel anything negative or boredom, and we just pop out our phone or our device, or we do whatever it takes to get us out of that moment. And we lose not just the ability to be present, we lose the power of boredom. It's weird. I like being bored. I love long drives with no radio. I've said it before. I sound like I'm some psychopath serial killer. But I love to do a long drive, no radio, because I just let my thoughts and my soul do what it does. And it's always so healing for me. I love this quote around boredom. It says this. It says, in the state of boredom, it is when we do some of our most creative thinking, our most original thinking, where we take disparate ideas and then push them together into new concepts. We create a sense of self. You could argue that it is what makes humans human. This ability to think, who am I and what is my place in the world? Boredom is thus best thought of as a way that we think of physical exercise. It might not feel good in the moment, but it makes us better and stronger in the long run. Facing and embracing boredom through practices of solitude, silence, rest, and delight are vital ways we train our soul. Quote from Mark Wallace here. It says, gotta make time to kill time. It's a stupid quote, but it's true. You got to make time to do it. We don't do it, though, because we're distracted or we're afraid. We're afraid we're not going to have enough if we stop and we rest and we aren't constantly problem solving and strategizing and ideating, that we're going to miss out on something good. We're going to not maximize ourselves or those around us. Maybe we're afraid we'll get passed on. Maybe we have pride. We think we're more important than we are, more essential. Shalise talked about it. We all took sabbaticals and everything was fine. I was gone for 3 months. Everything was fine. I expected nothing less. Like, we're all important. You're very important. You're very important. But you're also not that important. Like, that healthy realization that you are so significant, and then also, like, man, don't have an ego or pride, because that's going to drive you into dissatisfaction and inability to rest, and it'll drive you into burnout. Greed. We work so hard because, again, if we think we stop, we're going to miss opportunities to make money, to progress in our careers, whatever. Doubt. We don't trust God. Sometimes we think, well, that was the whole thing in the Old Testament where God was like, I'm going to give you manna 6 days, but there's not going to be this food manna from heaven on the seventh day. And they're all like trying to collect extra. And he's like, no, don't do that. It's going to spoil. All of that. Raheem could get up here and preach it better than me. The point is, like, it's hard to trust sometimes that there's going to be enough. You're like, yeah, you say you're going to provide. I don't need to worry. Jesus talks about the sparrows and the flowers of the field, and that's all great. But, like, I got to get this done, or I'm not going to get this project. I'm not going to make this money. And then how do we pay the bills? Whatever. There's a million excuses. They're all valid. But the radical way of trust is saying, I'm going to stop and just enjoy, have fun, take time to play. Trust that things will be okay and there will always be enough. Enough might look different, might be recontextualized, but it's always going to be enough. The way you're raised, family of origin. I was raised that I had to be earning to matter. If I wasn't producing, if I wasn't excelling, I didn't deserve attention or praise or love or whatever. That is, many of you have a similar background. Sabbath, especially delight, is me healing, having healing in that space. Sometimes we just don't rest because we want to be martyrs. We want everyone to think we're awesome. We got to be the people who always says yes. We don't have healthy boundaries because we feel like if we say no, we're going to let somebody down, or we're no longer going to be welcome because we're not producing, whatever it is. There's that classic story in scriptures, these two sisters, Mary and Martha. One is being an amazing host, working. The other is just sitting, resting, enjoying the company of Jesus, delighting in his presence. The one working gets mad at the other, and Jesus is like, hey, the one sitting and resting has chosen what's greater. I'm not going to take it from her. She sees the prioritization, his healthy prioritization of what matters. So I'm going to end with some practical takeaways for us. I'm going to end on time. Wow, this hasn't happened in a while. I feel good about that. I don't know if you do, but I feel good about it. Some ways we can delight. I love this quote from Rabbi Reb Zelman, who says, at the beginning of Sabbath, he always says this apparently. He says, today I'm going to pamper my soul. Maybe you were taught that you're never allowed to even speak your needs, let alone pursue your own needs. let alone pamper yourself. But he's saying this is what it's about. And it's not pampering yourself all the time, right? If all you ever do is put your needs above everyone else and everything, that's an unhealthy person. No one wants to be around you. It's not going to be fun. But you absolutely, in that rhythmic process, there needs to be time and space where you prioritize your rest, your health, mental, physical, spiritual, and pamper your soul. I took a bubble bath the other day. It was delightful. I loved it. I was making a little bubble hair, a little bubble Abraham Lincoln goatee, and just being an idiot, and it was great. You should do the same thing. Isaiah 30 says this. It says, "This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." God's like, I have shown you the way to live a healthy life, overflowing, full of joy. It requires rest and trust and delight. But you're not choosing it. You would have none of it. God's saying this as a lament, not as an angry God, as a father who's desiring something better for his children. Later on, Isaiah 58 says, "If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, then you will find your joy in the Lord." When we engage in delight and rest, we will find joy. We will begin to experience goodness, truth, and beauty in new ways. Last takeaways here, classic ways. These are, I didn't make these up. These are classic, centuries-old ways of celebrating Sabbath. One of them is feasting. Feasting. Like, again, pampering yourself. Have an incredible meal. Order the thing you didn't think you would want or could afford, or maybe it was whatever. Like, to take space to enjoy. Feast. I love this. Even attaching joy and delight to beauty. I heard this quote not too long ago where it's like, what if you chose on Sabbath to not do that which seemed the most logical or practical or safe or even the most religious, but you just chose to do the thing that felt the most beautiful that day? Like, what feels the most beautiful? Maybe you're even decision-making outside the Sabbath. You're trying to decide what way to go in your job or with your home or with your kids. Maybe try not just choosing the logical, whatever. What's the most beautiful story you want to tell? What choice feels the most noble and lovely? See what happens. Feasting, friends, hang out with friends, community. Yes, you can Sabbath alone, but it's also great to Sabbath with other people. Have fun together, play games, do sports. My sports ball team, the Niners, just barely won yesterday. Raheem's got the Joe Montana jersey. I got that same Joe Montana jersey. I should have worn it. Oh, man, I almost had like 8 heart attacks yesterday. If they lost, I would have called in sick today and we would have just played a video. Just kidding. I don't care that much about sports ball. But sports. Feasting, friends, gratitude, as we sang about, as we've talked about, we've preached about it. Expressing gratitude verbally, saying it out loud, writing it down, telling it to other people what you are thankful, grateful for, it changes the wires and the pathways in your brain. You can literally morph and evolve your thinking and your feeling by choosing daily, but especially on Sabbath, to express gratitude. Play, we talked about that. Play is important. Prioritize it. Have fun. Do things that you like. Be silly. Don't judge yourself or others. Just go for it. Don't get mad at me. This isn't my thing. Making love to your spouse. This is a very classic Sabbath. There is in the Talmud, the rabbinic writings, that was the command. Friday nights, make love to your spouse. You heard it here at Maker's Church from me. It's great. We were here. I'm not going to belabor the point or do my normal, like, make it all weird and silly, but like, sex is good. Sex is meant to be pleasurable. God designed us for sex. The church has been guilty of creating and perpetuating some really unhealthy baggage around sex and sexuality, shame culture, etc. That's a sermon for another time. Sex is good. God created it. Enjoy it. Like anything else, it can become an addiction, or it's trying to fill a hole that it shouldn't fill. That felt weird to say. Scrape the whole thing. I'll move on. Sex is good. Sabbath, do it. Watch, there'll be a bunch of babies 9 months from today. You can name them Mark or Marcus if you want to. Nature. We're wrapping up here. Nature. Engage. Like, my wife loves, I do too, but she loves it more, to go to the beach, walk along the water, put her little toesies in the sand. But get out into the forest. Check out animals. We've got all kinds of weird birds and stuff in our yard, and Lauren loves to paint the hummingbirds, and it's really cathartic and special. Engage with the wonder around us. And there's so many more. Engage with art, go to comedy shows, go to music venues, write, read, express poetry, sing, dance, laugh, walk, play games, picnic, time with family, friends, outdoors, watch a sunset. There are so many ways. You know what makes you happy. If you don't, spend time figuring out what brings me joy, what brings me delight, what is life-giving for me. I love Howard Thurman, one of the best thinkers. He was the leader of the largest, first, like, racially integrated church in the 30s. He says, and he stole this from the early church fathers, but he said, humans coming alive, I'm going to butcher this quote, but what the world needs most is humans are fully alive. And that is what delight is. Delight is when you're living fully in that moment. You're coming alive in that moment, and that's what the world needs. That is good. I'll end with this Benedictine quote that I think is so special and powerful. It says, when one of us finds true peace, joy, and rest, 1,000 find salvation. When you find true rest and peace and joy, that becomes, you become a little sliver of the new heaven, the new earth. You become an expression of God's kingdom. And that is beautiful and truthful and so good. And it does matter, not just for yourself, but for the world and the universe around. It helps set others free and gives them the inspiration and the permission to engage with Sabbath and find true rest and peace and joy themselves. Let me pray. God, thanks for this morning. Thank you for the gift that is Sabbath. You declared Jesus with your lips that we, humanity, mankind, was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath made for us. It's not supposed to be this legalistic, dogmatic thing, but many of us here struggle with boundaries. And so it is good to have this time where we can put boundaries and say, I'm not going to think about all the ways I can improve or problem solve, or how I can maximize this or that. I'm not gonna think about how this could have or should have been better, or what I need to work on. I'm not gonna make mental to-do lists. I'm gonna choose to enjoy and savor myself, my relationships, my work, what I have or don't have, my story, all of it, for what it is. And call it good because you called it good. Knowing that you are a God who is making all things new. You are a God who's up to something. You call us to walk with you and experience your unhurried, unforced rhythms of grace. And when we learn to walk and step with you, when we learn to praise even before the breakthrough happens, to experience joy before that longing is satisfied, when we're in the midst, I know this firsthand, when you're in the midst of uncertainty about what's gonna happen next, when the thing you prayed for didn't happen and the thing you're wanting hasn't happened yet and you're in the tension of that in-between, can we still have Sabbath? Can we still have real joy? It's radical, it's supernatural. I believe it's only as a result, or as scripture says, as a fruit of your Spirit moving in us. So God, I pray that your Spirit rushes through this room like a whisper, like a wind. God, like a refining fire, let us be filled with your Holy Spirit. May we, today, whatever day we Sabbath, today it's for me. This is my Sabbath. I can just have fun today. And then Monday, God, let me be engaged with purposeful work. Let me not be so myopic and see myself as the main character and no one else. God, we live in a world, in a community. God, I want to be engaged in it in a loving way and to love myself as you love us. This is for your glory, God. This is for your honor. You are worshiped when we come alive. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.